Queer Business Success, the podcast for LGBTQIA+ business owners, aspiring entrepreneurs, coaches, caregivers, and the allies who love our community. We tell the stories of why our businesses were formed, who we serve, our challenges and successes, and we offer sound advice to our fellow queer entrepreneurs. Our hope is to inspire, enlighten, and highlight the services that our LGBTQIA+ businesses and allies offer. If we can do this, so can you. We believe that we need more LGBTQIA+ business owners, not only for our community, but for a better world. Here's our host, Anne-Marie Zanza.
I am so excited to welcome today the indomitable Krista Supan, who is the owner of one of the last remaining lesbian bars in the United States, the Lipstick Lounge, which is a huge favorite in Nashville. Welcome, Krista.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I am so excited to have you here. You are someone who is so well regarded in the queer community here in Nashville, and your bar is home to a lot of people. And full disclosure here, I met Krista through my wife, Tonda, who was at when the Lipstick Lounge, she's very proud of the fact.
Yes.
She was there the first night it opened. And the first time I ever flew down to Nashville, I went to the Lipstick Lounge with her that night. And it felt like home to me too. So thank you so much, Krista, for all you do to create a space where people feel welcome and loved.
Oh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's talk about business.
Okay. So,
how'd you get into owning a bar?
Well, I didn't mean to. It was an accident. I was raised up in Illinois, and my grandparents owned a tavern up there, mm-hmm. and Sapan's Tavern, and my father worked there some as well. Got into the serving industry when I was about 15, and decided to graduate from high school, and then I went to college and continued to work in bars and restaurants. And it's just always been something, you know, everybody has their own way of serving others. And I feel like truly serving in my world is the serving of the clientele and the customers and the friends and the people who come in. I was working out at Chili's in Cool Springs, and Jonda came out and found me. And there were some other owners of Lipstick at the time, but they had me come out and bartend and serve for them when they first opened, as I'm sure your wife remembers. Mm-hmm. And a few months after they opened, they weren't doing so well and they were looking for an investor. And I truly believed in their mission. You know, there were no places for women, especially lesbians, in Nashville. And I felt like it was time for all of us to have a space, selfishly for me as well. And I really wanted to see this place succeed. So I came in, I purchased some ownership, and here I am accidentally owning a bar almost 21 years later.
So that's really interesting to me, because I always thought in the Lipstick Bar, we'll post this in all the show notes. There's a picture of the four original owners, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. And I always thought you guys just sort of did it together. I didn't realize you came in a couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah, I came in, opening was September 4th of 2002, and I came in November, but I was there from day one working. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I came in as an owner in November.
So you decided to create this business. And so what are some of the things that you did to make this, like that you and your team, you know, mm-hmm. no, it's yes. not an individual thing by any stretch of the imagination. Right. Like, what did you do to create your business and to, like, they weren't doing so great. So right. what did you do to help them out? Because, you know, I was a bartender for years. Mm-hmm. I know the restaurant business. I would never get into the restaurant business.
You're a lot smarter than I am. See?
Nope. Too much work. But like, what did you do?
I came in and I really did take over. I pretty much fired the entire staff. Mm-hmm. In a friendly, kind way, mm-hmm. but I knew that we had to start from the ground up, and that meant doing as much as possible ourselves. So I pretty much cleaned house, including Jonda's kids, mm-hmm. and said, you know, here, we've got to do this, and we've got to do it together, and we've got to do it pretending like we have no money because we don't have any money. And I knew that I knew how important branding was. That's always been always at the back of my mind. A few months after I purchased into the business, the building was going to be sold that we were renting in. I was like, I've got to protect my investment. So I need to buy this building. So I accidentally bought a building too, which, I mean, thank goodness all those years ago, it's been rent control, right? But I knew when I bought it, I said, the first thing we have to do is we have to paint it. We have to make it stand out. And Jonda is an artist and I do some artwork as well, but I said, I want it to be purple with mint green and red trim. And she's like, are you serious? And I was like, absolutely. I want people to know when they drive by that they're driving by the Lipstick Lounge. There's no question about what building you're in. And as you well know, all the walls inside are different colors. Everything has its own branding. Anytime you take a picture within those walls, you know, people know exactly where you are. You're at the Lipstick Lounge. We needed to make ourselves unforgettable. And that meant eventually hiring staff who felt like family and who we treat like family and they treat us as family as well. And just creating that home environment. Like that's the word you just used is I felt like I was at home. Well, that's my home as well. And that's my home that I want to share with people.
Is there any significance in your branding? Like with the colors, I know, like, did you like, because like, so for example, a lot of my colors are lavender because of the lavender menace, which, you know, that goes back to now and stuff like that, which quickly Eleanor Spiel called the, no, actually it was Betty Friedan called the lesbians, the lavender menace. We'll talk about that later, but like, that's why my branding is on in lavender. Was there any reason why you picked those colors?
I like the color purple. Well, I just know that that's not a common color.
No, it's not a building color.
For a building or a home. And I just, like I said, I wanted, if you just see a glimpse of it in the corner of a picture, you know that where those people are. And it's yeah, the red, obviously, for the lipstick. And the mint green, because it didn't match at all. I wanted it on purpose to not match. I wanted it on purpose to stand out as quirky and odd, but yet it all still belongs together. And that's what lipstick is. It's all these different people from all these different areas that may not have ever meshed together in any other location, but at 1400 Woodland Street, it all meshes together and it works.
You know, you sound like you're describing someone who's queer.
Yes.
Was that the intent behind it? Because, or was it subconscious?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think the original thought, those were the colors I automatically blurted out that I wanted. And Jonda was just like, you're crazy. And I mean, fair enough. But at the same token, the more I thought about it, the more I sat with it before we even started the painting, it made more and more sense because that's what we wanted to stand for. We wanted to have this bridge in our community where it wasn't, yes, it's was built with lesbians in mind, of course, no doubt about it. We are. At the same token, how do you bridge that community? How do you stop these people from hating one group or, you know, well, we're part of this, but we're not part of this. And, you know, we're not comfortable in, as lesbians, we're not comfortable in straight bars and we're not comfortable in other gay bars. And, but we wanted everybody to feel welcome within those walls. It made sense.
Well, yeah. And too, and like when you go to the, like someone once told me, maybe been my wife, said that you always consider also lipstick a neighborhood bar.
I do.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's situated in a neighborhood as it should be. It's not, you know, it's not in downtown Nashville or in any certain Sobro or Gulch or any of that. And the neighborhood 20 years ago was a lot different neighborhood than it is today. There were a lot more artists and musicians because that was the affordable area of town to live in. So it made it a lot easier to create a neighborhood vibe at that time, in my opinion. Still have really cool people living over on the east side. They're just in a different tax bracket, I think.
Well, and also too, a lot of them, all those people, artists and creators all mated and had children. Right. So Nashville has actually changed in a lot of ways because now there's a lot more families there. Like when you go there, there's so many more kids than I think than there had been years ago and stuff like that. So I know that COVID was a huge challenge for you.
I'm sorry.
I know that when COVID happened, that was probably, was that, I was, my question was going to be, what was the most difficult challenge for you in your business? So I would like to talk about like things that are always happening, like, you know, those challenges, but I also want to talk about like, you know, COVID, which was like so out of the box. And plus you also had damage from the hurricane or the tornado, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So and we were lucky enough to get flooded in 2010. Woo! So we've been able to be a part of all the excitement in the last 20 years in Nashville, except for the, you know, the bomb for Christmas. Yeah. So
well,
we got to miss that one.
Well, thank goodness.
Yes.
What's the day-to-day challenges of running a lesbian bar or a lesbian slash neighborhood bar?
Right. Having the energy to keep doing it. Burnout is very high in the service industry, in the bar and restaurant industry. It's not just a bar. We're also a full restaurant.
Yes.
So you've got that whole side of it as well. Mm-hmm. We also have live entertainment every night with at least one thing, if not more than one. You know, karaoke is our 7 nights a week, but we also have live music and comedy and drag shows and game shows and R&BW. We have all the components of several different businesses shoved into one. Mm-hmm. And really, it is juggling. It's making, okay, I have a half an hour to figure this out. And you know, but it's on a weekly basis. We're open 7 days a week. There's no break. There's no time out. And, you know, the mornings get started at 7, usually. I have a 9-year-old. So, you know, early in the morning, we're getting up and getting him off to school and coming home and downing some coffee. And then it's time to do the day-to-day operations. And then
do you do everything still, Krista? Like, do you do the books? Do you do the, I mean, do you have a manager at all? I mean, because I go in there and I know you probably have night managers and like people right. that are like in charge for the evening or right. something. You're not there, but are you still the manager? Like the day-to-day operation?
Oh, I'm still the GM. I do have someone I just hired maybe a month and a half ago to help me do some of the deliveries and ordering and some things like that, just to take a few things off of my plate because we are in the midst of planning and expansion. So the plans are done. We're waiting for the engineers and hoping to be adding about 2,000 square feet out back for a sports bar.
That's so exciting.
So yeah, it is. It's super exciting. It was time. We need some more space.
This begs a question then.
Yeah.
If burnout is, I mean, I like, as I said, I would never own a restaurant or a bar in my life. How do you take care of yourself? Like, how do you like discharge from doing that? Do you intentionally stay away from the bar, like not go in the evening or something like that? How do you take care of yourself? Because you need to recharge. You have your mom of a 9-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, several years ago, before COVID, Jonathan and I were in there every single night.
Yes, I remember.
Every single night.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're both older now. Time has passed. And the hangovers last a lot longer than they used to. So, no, we're not in the bar every evening anymore. And, you know, I have a staff. I have a very tenured staff who, like I said, they're amazing. They're family. They're going to take care of myself and Jonda and themselves as well. So, as far as... Oh, goodness. It's hard. It's hard to disconnect. I'm not going to lie. You know, until the bar is shut down at 3, you know, whenever their kids are leaving at 3:30 in the morning, that's when I get to go to sleep. So I get those good 2.5 or 3 hours of sleep on a regular basis. I'm not a good sleeper. I never have been. So it's okay. I'm not struggling with that as far as being tired. But
do you nap?
No, I don't. I wish I knew how. I've tried. I wake up super grouchy. It is best to not let me nap. Meditation is important for me. Doing my energy work is important for me. And having a true disconnect. Every few months, my wife and I take a trip, sometimes with our kiddo, sometimes without our kiddo. Uh-huh. And, you know, really take that time to turn the phones off and to truly disconnect and for us to reconnect.
Well, and I know your wife has an important job too. So, I mean, you probably both have to do it, right?
We do. And we've decided that the best way to do that is to take a cruise.
Well, and also to reconnect with each other.
Exactly.
Lesbian couples, like just like every other couple, has to they have to nurture their relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to take time and be with each other since mm-hmm. you're so busy with all the other stuff that you guys have in your lives, you know?
Yeah.
So what has been like the biggest challenge? Like the day-to-day challenges, yes, but like you've had some really major challenges.
Yeah, I mean, 2020, I'll just check the box. It's with everybody else. COVID was the hardest thing I think that most people have been through in this lifetime who are living right now. It just created different challenges. You know, we did get hit by the tornado 10 days before we were shut down for COVID. We were able to reopen a week later, sans some roofs and things like that. But we were able to reopen for a whole whopping 3.5 days before we got shut down for COVID. And, you know, at first I was like, okay, 2 weeks, we can do this. But mm-hmm. as a very small business owner, you know, the money runs out, you know, there's not like it's super plentiful and we're like, oh, we can just be closed for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, there's bills that continue to be due.
Yeah.
And then whenever I realized that it wasn't going to be 2 weeks, you know, the reality kind of set in of what are we going to do? You know, mm-hmm. there's no money coming in. Am I going to lose everything I've ever owned in my life? Sits at 1400 Woodland Street. And John and I talked every day on the phone in tears, mostly mm-hmm. just missing our energy of being down there. I said a while back was, I said, there was a residual energy that just lived inside that building. And it was a nonstop energy that gave back to me on a daily basis whenever I walked in there to go to work. And then all of a sudden, the energy just stopped when I walked in because there was no residual from the night before.
Right.
And I always cry. I'm so sorry. But, you know, John and I were really struggling with, you know, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to call my bank and I was like, is there any way I can, you know, not pay on the building for a couple months until we figure things out? And they were lovely. And they were like, let's just do interest only. We'll figure it out on the back end. Lovely. But, you know, you have to keep your electricity on and you have to keep, you know, pest control and, you know, I mean, garbage pickup could wait a while, but, you know, so many of these bills are still coming due. And on a monthly basis, you can't just shut the building down. Mm-hmm. And we were able to get a PPP,
mm-hmm.
Which helped everybody. And then we also took out an SBA loan mm-hmm. of $150,000 for the EIDL, just so we could reopen. We were closed almost 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was a homeschool teacher, which I would not recommend anyone ever hire me to school their children. Just don't do that. I will make you a drink, but I will not school your child. Yeah, it was just, you know, instead of just having, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose not just a job, but my entire work of mm-hmm. what, 18 years at that point? Am I going to lose everything I've ever worked for?
Mm-hmm.
So
are you proud of yourself for keeping the bar open? I hope
I am. Because I am. I said something a couple weeks ago. I said, we were talking about lipstick and I said, you know, no matter what, the one thing they can't take away is no matter what, we were able to be open for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That is a success all in itself. Just to have a small business for 20 years is, mm-hmm. that's a big deal. And it's a lot of sacrifice and it's a lot of time and energy spent in one location. I said, even if everything folds tomorrow, we still made it. And I can see the fruits of my labor on a weekly basis when I go in there and see these people who've now been friends for 20 years because they met at Lipstick. And yeah, it's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, you should be very proud of yourself because a lot of businesses didn't stay open. As you yeah. drive around East Nashville, you can see so many restaurants that have closed. And I'm like, oh, I missed that one. Oh, I missed mm-hmm. that one. And it's amazing. I'm really like, that's amazing you stayed open. And I think it's really almost a Herculean feat to have done that. And so I think you guys should be super proud of yourself. I really do. So I have some questions about what advice would you give to someone who says, I want to open a bar?
Oh, that's a horrible question. don't do it. No, you know, my dad told me.
I'm not even going to say a lesbian bar, but I'm just saying, just like if somebody wants to go into your line of work of owning a restaurant slash bar, what would you, I mean, Okay. Yes. First of all, both of us would say, oh, I don't know if you should do that. But if they're like, Krista, you've done so well and you've done it, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to be very prepared for the next 7 years of their life, to be literally devoted to that business 100%. Like, you are there every waking hour. I would also tell them to make sure that they have plenty of money to be able to pay themselves and plenty of money to be able to sustain for at least those 7 years in order to even make it. You know, the success rate of a bar in the first year is 1%.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's a 99% failure rate. That's why banks will not give you money. You cannot, I don't care how wonderful your business plan is, their answer will always be no. You know, in the second year, I think it's like 98.5%. Like, the failure rate in the first 5 years is great. And then it goes down to, you know, like 70%. And it continues to go down as the years pass by. I would say, obviously, it's the only business I've really ever known, but I would say it's probably one of the more difficult ones, because you can't just go to the bank and say, I have this really cool idea. I want to borrow $150,000. And they're like, okay, here you go. It's just, it doesn't work that way. You need to have the time and the money.
And so it sounds like you have to have your capital and savings if you want to do that. No one's going to loan you money until you're making money. That's life. You know, one thing I've noticed with your business is that you keep staff. People stay for a long time, and I admire that. That's one of the, like, I have a couple people working for me now, and I like try to pay them as well as I can, sometimes to my own detriment. And, you know, but I believe in that. And so how do you keep your staff? I know, you know, like, how do you make it a wonderful place to work so they stay for years and years and years?
Well, I think I genuinely love them, and I do appreciate them, and I feel like I do a pretty good job of showing them the appreciation. Money is obviously a great motivator in a lot of ways, but at the same token, I think so many people go to jobs and go to work and they're only going for the money. They're just going to get a paycheck. They're not getting filled up in any other way at those jobs. I understand that they're all coming into work, but why not make it a good place to work, a fun place to work, a place where when you walk in, you feel appreciated instead of feeling like, great, I have to go to work today. I feel like a lot of my staff's like, I'm working, but, you know, I get to see my other family, because I feel like they're an extension of my family, and with each other, they consider themselves a family beyond me. And I think it's just really cool to see them, to watch them interact is a super thing too, because they genuinely love each other and they actually like working together.
So it has become a fun place to work, you know? Yeah. I've worked in bars that have been really fun for me when, you know, and making, you know, because usually typically people who work in the bar industry tend to make good money. You know, they just do. That's why people do it a lot of the time. So my next question is, and my last, is really focusing on people who are queer and own a business. We live in a really difficult state right now.
We do.
Yeah. What advice would you give to a queer business owner? Like, what would you say to them if they're going to open their own business? As someone who's lived as an out lesbian for a gazillion years, like, what would you say to them?
Be ready. I mean, really, you better put on some serious armor. Because you're going to get attacked. I mean, hopefully not physically, but definitely verbally and emotionally. Tennessee has really hurt my feelings, honestly. You know, my wife and I talk quite frequently with, should we just be done? Should we just move? And I mean, that's the reality. That's the honest to God truth of, you know, what our conversations are. And it's been about a month ago. And I said, but if we leave, who stays?
Right.
Who stays to fight? I just feel like that's part of my job for my community, is to stay and fight and to say, that's not right. How do we change that? How do we make it better? I don't see in my lifetime it ever being an easy task to be a queer owner of any establishment, because as soon as, whether it's a bar or not, it's going to be the gay owner. You have to, people are going to put you in that box no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm very proud of who I am. Mm-hmm. At the same token, why can't I just be a woman? Why do I have to be the gay lady or the lesbian?
Or
whatever. Yeah. I'm just Krista. Yes, there's a whole slew of things you can say about me, and being gay is just one of them. I don't, you know, yes, is it a queer business? As everybody says, yes, it's a queer business, but it's just a business. Mm-hmm. I also have a queer marriage, but it's also just a marriage. Yeah. We also have a child, but I raised my child the same as any straight person does. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'm not anti-labels if they're kind, mm-hmm. but I am anti-labels when they just dump all those things into one specific area and zone in on that one thing. If you wanted to open up a bakery, you're going to be known as the gay bakery. Mm-hmm. You're going to be known as the gay shoe store, what, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's unfortunate because I'm just a business owner. I'm not.
Can I ask, I mean, you may not know the answer to this, but is that just in the South or is that everywhere?
I don't know that answer. Yeah. I honestly don't.
I'm curious about.
I feel like some places it just doesn't matter
as much.
We were in New York City a couple years ago watching a show, and Christy and I had gone to Cubby Hole. I'd never been to Cubby Hole, and they were voted the number one lesbian bar in the world, and we were voted number two. So I needed to go see who was number one. So anyway, so we go there, and it's a cute, very. It's even smaller than
I've been there, so I know it. Yeah,
We were older than everybody by many, many years, and. I was like, cute place though. So we leave and we go to a place closer to where we're staying for the night. And we go in there and we're just sitting there talking at the bar top. And I was like nobody seemed to get, not that we're super, I mean, we're obviously out, but we're not making out at the bar top or anything. Mm-hmm. And Christy's like, but it doesn't matter in New York. Nobody cares if you're gay, if you're straight. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are several cities and there are some states where it truly just nobody cares. Yeah. They just consider you an equal. And isn't that the goal? Isn't that what we all want? Every single one of us just want to be equally.
I think all of us want to be recognized as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah. And we all have shared humanity. And we could get into a long discussion about politics, but I think that is the goal, mm-hmm. That we just all want to be seen as human beings.
Yeah.
You know? I had a good question, but when you said that, I forgot it.
Sorry.
No worries. Krista Supan, I want to thank you very, very, very much for spending this half an hour with me. It was really exciting to learn all about your business and all the ups and downs and all your insight. Thank you for so much for being on the show today and talking a little bit about the number one bar in my heart.
Thank you.
In my heart, in the United States. And personally, don't tell the Cubbyhole people, but I think you're number one. I've been to both. So
thank you so much.
The size of this office. All right. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Queer Business Success, the podcast that highlights LGBTQIA+ businesses. New episodes are published regularly on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other listening platforms. Wherever you're listening, take a moment to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Are you an entrepreneur who's also queer? Want to share some of your wisdom and experience with the rest of us? We'd love to have you on the show. Just click the link in the show notes to apply to be a guest. Until next time, queer friends and allies, keep taking care of business.